The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome
to LeadCast. Let's go.
Intriguing.
Immediately. He's gone.
Without delay.
Hello and welcome to episode 371 of the LeadCast podcast. I'm your host, Nick the King Cooper. Joining me, Aiden Frost Rockarts.
Hey, I played League.
And Colton Blue Basket Sweat.
I played League with him.
Pog, I played League too.
Wow.
So before we get into our weeks, real quick, we're going to be talking about some upcoming patch changes. We could talk about Vayne, do a couple round tables, got some spicy cheese pick. LCS, I guess, final standings and playoffs now that the regular season is over. And a couple emails that we can round out the show with. Aiden, how was your week?
I played four games of League.
Pog, did you enjoy them?
None of them were with you. So, yes.
Okay.
So that's a hell yeah.
Yeah, Colton and I were just like playing normals with some friends, and we played Mord Blitz and Mord Alley a couple games. So we've been having fun.
Okay.
That's still a fun lane. It's like it takes bottom lane. You're like, hey, what's the worst part about bottom lane? Doing nothing and farming. And it just like throws that out the window. It's either you int into them and they kill you a bunch, or you kill them a bunch. And either way, it's more fun than just fighting, farming.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yeah.
So you think Mord is still like pickable?
Oh, he's still really good, I think. I just feel like it's more because of like a lot of gimmicks, if that makes sense, right? It's like,
yeah, no, absolutely.
Colton and I have been discussing it during each game. It's like little things like, getting dragon is way too efficient. People don't know how much dragon does, so you'll kill people solo with dragon sometimes. People don't know how much you heal with your W. People don't know how much your third Q does. Like, all these things that just people don't know make the character, I think, better than he should be.
Okay, so they're just like little snowballs that happen throughout the course of a game.
Yeah.
It's mainly like, just like the unexpected is so powerful. And Mord has more unexpected shit than anyone else because nobody knows how he works.
True.
Or, like, the majority of players don't know how he works, right? So, like, if everyone had played 100 games with a Mordekaiser in, like, the last month, they'd know exactly what all this was and he probably wouldn't be that great. But when that Viger walks up to try and trade with your dragon and takes half of his health from two autos, it's like, oh, I didn't realize that was that busted.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Like, how many players do you think know that if Mord gets dragon at any point past 20 minutes, he can solo Baron?
I only know that because I feel like you know that.
Yeah, it's like, it's one of those things, like, if you don't know that, then, like, will they have a chance to sneak a Baron just because you don't know what a character can do, right?
Interesting.
I don't know. I feel like little edges like that make the character good, not because he's actually, like, he's actually just a dog shit character. He's too slow. His abilities are too clunky. I don't know. He's just bad. He shouldn't win into ranged characters, like shit like that, right? You literally have to play supports that can get him in a fight or bring characters to him, or else he's bad, right? So like you need to like make him a better character, but he's only good because of gimmicks, I think.
Okay, interesting.
I don't think there's too many other characters like that in the game, though. Like, can you think of another character that's only good because of like gimmicks, like that people don't understand or?
I don't think so. Not off the top of my head. Because I think gimmicks like that sort of come from a low play rate and kind of like a low, maybe like a low mastery of the champion's not a good way to put it. But if a lot of people aren't playing a champion, they're not going to pick up on those sort of things.
I think like Yorick ult is another like good example, right? Like I see a lot of players the first time Yorick ults in a fight, like in a game, they'll just like die to their Yorick ult in the fight because it does way more damage than they expect, right?
Okay.
But once again, you do that enough times, you die to it enough times, you learn that it does a lot of damage, right? Whereas you don't play against Mord enough to realize all these things.
Yeah, I would say another one that like, again, it's not nearly as prominent, but like the package on Corki, Like, watching people that don't realize how much damage it does, it's just hilarious. Like, it's like someone flashing into a Rumble ult. You're just like, why on earth would you ever walk in the package? You're just gonna die.
The package is like a 90% slow.
It's fucked.
And there's, like, little things you can do to, like, negate stuff like that. Of course, like, Morgan gets dragged and you tell your team, hey, he can fucking do Baron, right? And you can, like, solve these problems. Or, like, Corki gets packed. Every single time Corki gets packaged, I immediately type in chat and, like, it's a 60-second ability that you can have, right? Mm-hmm. So it's pretty easy to keep track of. Because by the time you actually gets to, like, the fight, it usually has, like, 30 seconds, 20 seconds left on it, depending on where it is on the map. So you kind of can play around it pretty easily, but once again, people don't know shit like that, and that's what really messes you up, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, but other also, than fun that... fact, oh, sorry.
Yorick ulti does zero base damage at level 6.
But it scales with something.
Yes, so it adds damage based on his auto attacks.
Mm-hmm.
So his auto attacks deal extra damage if he attacks them with his target, his maiden's target. But she does zero damage at rank 1 ulti.
That's as of, like, the recent nerf, though, right?
Yeah. Like, pretty recent.
Like, yeah, 2 patches ago, something like that. 3, maybe. Mm-hmm. But, yeah.
I mean, she still does a lot of damage. It's just, like, not at level 6.
Yeah, that's fair. Other than that, though, like, I really just played those 4 games of League in my last, like, real week of university, which is kind of cool. So I'm just doing a bunch of projects. I thought I had my 2, like, huge assignments for this one class. I thought they were both due on Friday, like not this Friday, but next Friday, due on this upcoming Tuesday. So it's a little bit closer.
Ooh.
So that's all right. They're not too bad. They're fun, like writing things. They're just long. It's like going to be like 8,000 words. So no, not 8,000, like 6,000 words total.
Not too bad.
Yeah. I'm just going to grind one of them out tonight and then the other one over the weekend, I think.
Nice.
Yeah. Hopefully I'll play more League. I'm really enjoying playing more Blitz. So.
Yeah.
Awesome. Colton, how about you?
Yeah, my week, let's see, I didn't do a whole lot, hung out with Kennedy last Saturday, and we just walked around a bunch, and that was cool, and then played a lot more FTL this week, because my save file got wiped, so I've been playing a lot more FTL again. Love that game, I'm enjoying playing through it again, and, like, re-unlocking everything, but it's also reminding me of, like, how much I don't like some of the ships in the game, because I'm just like, these are bad. I don't like this. But other than that, I played a little bit of League, a couple ranked games. Nothing, like, I didn't, like, really try and grind, but I played, I think, 3 or 4 ranked games throughout the week. I think I went, like, 1-3 or 2-2. But yeah, aside from that, I think that's really, like, most of my week. It's, starting to get warm out here, so I'm excited for that, so I can, like, go outside for the first time in months. But yeah, that's Colton's week. What about you, Mr. Cooper? You got work and school? No, I do.
I had school the start of this week, but not last week. So been mostly keeping up with that. It's a struggle, but we're making it. It's not 6,000 words, but it feels like it sometimes. Otherwise, I played a bunch of normals, played a bunch of ARAM, queued up for a ranked game. Turns out it was a normal game. So that was not fun. But yeah, just kind of chilling. Still no desire really to climb. We'll see. Maybe this is the gold year, you know?
Or on ranked if you don't get placed.
True. I only have 2 more games to get placed, so I'm sure I'll play 2 games in 9 months at least.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, pretty exciting. Let's get into the news, where we have, like, kind of a half news ish but we don't have anything else, so we're going to talk about this instead. Who was this? Riot Maple. Put out an infographic about upcoming 9.7 patch that is coming up next week, where on the list of champion buffs includes Mundo, Cho'Gath, Garen, Rumble, Leona, Pyke, Azir, Kayn, and Cinderhulk will be getting buffed. And those champions receiving nerfs will be Sylas, Lissandra, Kayle, Morgana, Urgot, and Dark Seal is going to get nerfed. And then items being adjusted, Wit's End, along with oh god, what is that?
Ghost Poro, Zombie Ward, and Eyeball Collection.
An Eyeball Collection. Yeah, being nerfed.
Well, adjusted.
Adjusted. Yeah. Sorry. So I guess, like, these feel kind of okay. Interesting to see a couple tanks up there, I think.
Yeah, interesting to see some tanks in the buff category. I'm down for that. Interesting to not see a couple characters, and we talked about that in our little chat. Where we're like,
where's, or a couple items. Yeah,
where's Vlad? Where's Vayne? Where's Ginsu's on this list? But hey,
yeah, where's Riven? Oh wait, Riven's. Are we past that yet?
No.
Okay, we're not past the Riven nerf. Riven.
No.
Point.
I'm wondering what they're gonna do to Darkseal. I think the easiest thing is just to say that, like, the healing bonus is unique.
Yep, I think that's the only thing that's going to happen. Honestly. It's the only thing that I think needs to change. And it's interesting that both Kayle and Darkseal are up there, because I think Darkseal kind of enables Kayle to get past her early game to get to late game. So seeing a nerf in Darkseal, I feel like, is a kind of an indirect Kayle nerf already.
I guess we'll have to see what happens. It might be the right special. Yeah, so
Aiden was saying, these are pretty... Who knows if these are massive changes and tiny changes. I did see the planned Wit's End kind of rework, and it's super interesting.
Is it going to eat mana again?
I don't remember off the top of my head what it's going to be.
Wit's End has a new effect, testing on the PBE. Unique passive at Wit's End. Damage on hit lowered from 20 to 80 to 15 to 80. Heal increased from 25% to 35%. So while below half health, heal for 33% of this effect's damage, increased to 100% for melee characters. So you deal on hit damage and then you heal for a percentage of it.
Okay, yeah. It's more effective for melee.
Yeah. Increased to 100%, not increased by 100%.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds really too strong for melee.
Melee, if it's 33% for ranged, right? So it's tripled for melee.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah. Yeah.
So on a ranged character, let me type in the numbers real quick.
You're going to
be healing at level 18, like 26 health per hit.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously for melee characters, it's going to be 80 health per hit. That's kind of nuts.
I think it's not. What melee characters could use it? Does Urgot?
Mastery.
Does Urgot, like, Gatling Gun apply on hit or no?
He is.
I think it applies
character.
On hit at a third.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's already. Plus he's a ranged character. That'd be.
Oh, I guess he's ranged. Never mind. I thought he's melee for some reason in my head.
I mean, I think you could take it on Yi. I think you could take it on Shyvana.
He's the biggest one, I think.
I mean, like, I think Yi and Shyvana are the only ones that come to mind to me. And even on Shyvana, it probably wouldn't be very good. She just does so much magic damage.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think it... Does it shred MR anymore, then?
No.
No, okay. They took that away.
No, but it still does magic damage on hit.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be interesting.
They should give it back the... It deals damage
steals
and takes
mana?
Away mana.
False. False. Mana burn is not a fun mechanic.
You can't cast spells because I say so.
So I guess expanding on a couple of these. A couple of things I have, like, problems with in the nerf category is Lissandra. It's still pretty obvious that she's OP because of Aftershock, which isn't getting a nerf. Mm-hmm. They said they're still looking into it. But they're I would use the term gutting. Maybe that's a little bit of an overstatement, maybe I'm being a little bit too, like, harsh, because they're nerfing her Q, which is the thing you max first, so it only affects her to level, like, 9-ish. But, so the cooldown at level 1 right now is, at level 1 of the ability is 6 seconds. They're changing that to 10.
Oh my god.
Which I think is a little bit absurd. And then at the max rank, it's currently 3. But they're changing it to 4, which is still a pretty big change.
So that one I'm more fine with, because you tend to have pretty high CDR on Lissandra, so you're going to get that pretty close to where it was before, but...
Doubling your wave clear at level 1 is insane, change. Though.
Fuck, that's nuts.
And, like, the bigger problem, like, once again, like, I feel like that change is all right, because it's the ability max first. The bigger problem is the fact that they're then going to nerf Colossus, like, next patch.
Aftershock, yeah.
Or, yeah, sorry, Aftershock.
No, they just gotta put Colossus back in the game. Did you see that thread?
I did. I actually kind of agreed with what one of the commenters said, at least. Or I forget it was a commenter or the post. Where it was like, tanks suffer from not having enough HP versus not having enough resistances, and bruisers prefer having resistances to HP.
Mm-hmm.
Because they build items with a lot of HP.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, it still doesn't feel good to have that shield, but I think it's better than Aftershock. It's at least more visual, like there's a better visual clarity when you have a shield like that.
Yeah.
Versus like, oh, he's reducing this much damage because of his shield, as opposed to like he's reducing how much damage because of his resistances that went up by what amount.
Mm-hmm. And like if you weren't paying attention, like when it proc'd, right, you can immediately see a shield on someone. Like you have to look at them to see that their armor and MR are up.
Yeah, you have to be like focused on them, take your eyes off of the fight up there, and then you have to know what they were at before. Or maybe not, but
I mean, you don't yet need to, but like you're just gonna do a lot less damage, whereas I think it's a lot easier to be like, oh look, that person has a shield, don't hit them for a second. I mean, I think it'd be interesting if they tried it. I'm not entirely sold on it, but I think that, yeah, the main point of, like, if you give tanks more health, it's better, and if you give non-tanks more resists, that's really good, and that's why characters who aren't tanks are really good with Aftershock, and tanks just use it okay. Like, I mean, it's fine on a lot of tanks, it's really good, but, like, the, you know, Aftershock Rise meta right now is a big thing in Korea, because, like, you just can never win that trade with him, because he's going to have so much free health and resistance.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, any other changes we really want to kind of address?
The adjustments to Ghost Poro and Zombie Ward are pretty interesting. Currently, they're...
Okay.
I mean, I think Ghost Poro is a good... I don't like it, personally, but I think it's a good thing in the game. Zombie Ward's pretty bad right now. So they're changing it so that, for example, Ghost Poro set now states, when your ward expires, they leave behind a Ghost Poro, which grants vision for 60 seconds. When nearby characters, when a nearby enemy steps in a bush with the Ghost Poro, it scares it away. And then you can have up to 10 of these. So after spawning 10 of these, gain 10 adaptive force. Sorry.
Is it 10 and it is at up a time to 10. Or 10 total?
10 total, but you can also have 10 up to a time at a time. So
okay, so the adaptive force only happens when you have 10 ghost poros?
Total no, throughout the game.
No, that wouldn't be possible. Okay, so once you hit your 10th, then you get extra. I kind of like that.
I like the idea of like it being a 60-second thing that can just be cleared away by just like stepping on it, which is cool. And then zombie ward, which is kind of similar, is takedowns on enemy wards cause friendly zombie wards to spread to their corpses. Gain an adaptive force of 1.2 attack damage or 2 ability power for every zombie ward spawned up to 10. After spawning 10 zombie wards, additionally gain 10 adaptive force. Ghost Pearl also has that like gain up to 10, by the way. I didn't mention that. Zombie wards are visible, last for 120 seconds, and do not count towards your ward limit. So it's kind of like old zombie ward, I guess a little bit less, a little bit worse than like zombie ward when it first came in the game. But I feel like these actually are like balanced between each other now, whereas like one's always been better than the other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they definitely serve like different purposes. It seems like if you're more focused on clearing vision, that Ghost Poro, I'm sorry, Zombie Ward will be better, and if you're more focused on like maintaining vision, that Ghost Poro will be better.
Mm-hmm.
But I do like that a lot.
Yeah, it feels like they're balanced, which is nice.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
I'm
also kind of surprised to see Morgana up there.
Hers just like nerfs to her like AP ratio on her W, I believe, is the main thing they're hitting.
They want to force her back into the support role.
She's being played mid a fair bit though, right?
I personally didn't pay a lot of attention to LCS this past weekend, but I saw her in one game, at least in NA.
So,
but I can't talk about other leagues or
anything. So they're hitting her base health regen by one, and then they're nerfing her W, Tormented Soils AP ratio per second, from 16% to 14%. So it's like a very minor nerf. But.
Okay. Yeah, not too bad. Honestly, probably not something that'll be extremely noticeable.
Yeah.
So
I think overall, like, the changes are good. The one that I really like is the Cho'Gath change. They're changing his Q cooldown, which is static, from 9 to 7, which I actually think is a pretty big change.
Ooh. Now you're actually incentivized to to put points into other abilities too.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Cool.
All right. Well, yeah, that's kind of a preview for next week. We'll get more in depth next week when the changes come out. But
I guess
let's talk about Vayne.
I was going to say, there's one more thing we can mention is the April Fool's versus event mission list came out.
Oh, true.
Most of them are kind of like boring, like play with a player with a skin, win a just like basic shit, like win a game, win against certain characters, whatever, all that boring stuff. But the best is there's an impossible mission line, which is mission one, the impossible mission. Ask Nuno and Willump, reach over 1,000 movement speed with the biggest snowball ever. Or, fine, don't reach light speed and place 3 control wards, right? So it gives you like an icon. And if you did like a 3 control wards one, you get, it's like set, the next mission is called You Took the Easy Path. Do whatever, I don't care, just play a game. And if you did the 1,000 movement speed one, it says, wait, do what now? As a pre-made 5, lose a game of co-op versus AI. And then if you did that one, you only get this third mission if you did like the new plus the lose a co-op versus AI game. It's if you lost the game of co-op versus AI, it's called time to play your displacements. As a 5-man pre-made group, play a game with Singed, Alistar, Volibear, Poppy, and Blitzcrank on your team.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and then you get like a platinum like special icon if you do that.
Ooh, okay. Sounds
so
like
we need
some
to do
stuff
that.
To
yeah.
Yeah. That's really cool. I like that.
Mm-hmm. The only problem is everyone asks you as Nuno and Willump, which is kind of the problem, I guess. But
yeah.
How fast do you normally reach with them? Like probably pretty fast. Probably like 700.
Probably
I think
pretty
if you
close,
if you have Predator and Celerity and Deadmans, like you'll hit 1,000.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to remember, so this is important, that with Nunu and Willump, you need to have movement speed modifiers before you cast your W. Because yeah. I don't think they increase your movement speed while you're actually W-ing.
And also you cancel
be,
Predator.
Like,
you
as
can't.
You cast. Yeah. So, hopefully that helps.
That's a fun skin line, or mission line, though. I think that's fun.
My only complaint is that there's no, like, indicator that you will miss out on missions or rewards if you, because I see this, I'm instantly gonna just place 3 control wards, and
yeah.
I'd be a little upset if I didn't know about that.
I don't know. I feel like
I think that, and the fact that it's, I think the biggest thing for me is that it's so easy to do the other one, like mm-hmm. you could accidentally do that in the course of a game, and then like lose something because of it, right?
Yeah,
if
I think it should
like
be harder.
It
should be like mission. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe like place, I don't know, 30 control wards. So it's mm-hmm. like over the course of a couple games.
I don't know,
have 2
I feel
control
like
wards out on the map at the same time.
Something that's like doable but like kind of boring would be like a good thing. Like even just like win 5 games or something like that, right?
Mm. Where, play 5 games.
Yeah, but you know what I mean? Where it's like...
Yeah.
Because I do think... I do like the idea of like people who go, holy shit, that mission looks so much fun, and they try that rather than just doing the control ward thing. Like, it's what they're trying mm-hmm. to get. Like, those people who, like, actually went, oh, this is a cool mission. Right?
And like, they, yeah, and they get a bonus reward out of it.
Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't think you should be upset if you... Because you purposely didn't do the mission, the cool mission they put in, right?
Yeah, but I don't think there's been a mission like that in the past. Or like this in the past. Mm-hmm. So I could understand people being a little upset if they missed out on a reward based on... like a lack of indication that there is a different reward.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, it's just an icon.
Yeah.
So nice. Yeah. Let's talk about Vayne. What do we think of Vayne right now? Best character in the game.
She's up there.
Pretty good.
Yeah. So I've already been very vocal about how I feel about a specific item that she has.
Mm-hmm.
But let's get a little more in depth. Why is she like? Why is she at the top right now?
Berserker's Greaves.
That's
the item, right? That's the one you're talking about.
I regret to inform everyone that this will be Colton's very last episode.
Oh, you're upset because she abuses Doran's blade.
Okay.
No.
Most popular starting item is Doran's shield, but
no. Okay. Let me give one more guess.
Okay.
Could it
okay.
be Ginsu's Rageblade?
Oh, it's Ginsu's Rageblade. Fog. So yeah, right now she it looks like for summoner spells, flash heal, flash cleanse very occasionally, but flash heal 99% of the time. And then something that I actually learned today, W Max right now is by far the most popular because of the buff to her Q while she's ulting, meaning mm-hmm. you don't need to max it for the cooldown reduction.
Yep, because it halves now when you're in ult form, so you get to use it mm-hmm. and be basically always stealthed when you're ulting.
Yeah. So she ends up doing 14% max health true damage
every three
autos at level 9, which is absolutely uh-huh. insane. And I'm not
it's
quite
every
sure.
other hit once you get rage point.
Well, yeah. Yeah, but max W, then max Q. As for runes, we're seeing, honestly, press the attack. And then it looks like Triumph, Alacrity, and Coup de Grace, although I would consider taking Overheal. I think Overheal's OP, actually. And then you take the attack speed and offense, the adaptive force in the middle tree, and then armor or magic resist in the last tree, depending on your bottom lane matchup. Mm-hmm. Alternatively, you could go an inspiration build where you kind of keep the precision tree, press the attack, coup de grace, or I'm sorry, press the attack, triumph slash overheal, alacrity and coup de grace, and then you go magical footwear and biscuit delivery to kind of just get you through that laning phase.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sorry, what did you say the other most popular word for domination is the secondary tree, right? I don't know if you said that. For the most common secondary tree, if you're not going to go
domination,
boots, biscuits,
yeah, sorry.
You go domination, and you take
Taste of Blood and yeah, Ravenous Hunter. Ravenous Hunter lets her heal from her true damage, which is huge, because she's dealing it, yeah, a bunch all the time. So, and then I guess where we can really kind of talk about her and get in depth, because everything else is kind of cut and dry, is her build, where you pretty much go Blade of the Rune King, Ginsu's, a Zeal item, boots being Berserker Tabi or Merc Treads, depending on the matchup, but generally speaking, Berserker Greaves. And then kind of like two situational items, because you just do so much damage. I've seen Frozen Mallet, I've seen Randuin's, I've seen GA, I've seen QSS, I've seen Spirit Visage. She just does so much damage that you like with her core two items, honestly, with Bork and Ginsu's, that you can kind of get away with building whatever you want after that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and like you do enough damage after those two items. Like if you really want to, you could go like 2 to 3 defense.
Yeah, and that's kind of the crazy thing, because it's not very often that a character like this is like blind pickable, and I think that's a pretty good indication of her strength, where a character like Vayne should never be able to first pick it.
I mean, her lane's right? still weener, but
yeah, it's certainly not great. However, I think her late game is good enough that if you can survive that like pretty mediocre laning phase, you just auto win the game. But
and I think
maybe
the
I'm
current
a
state
biased.
Of bot lane, honestly, like, you can survive lane pretty fine on Vayne without too much trouble. Like, I don't think that it's going to be like terribly difficult to survive lane without a massive deficit at this point.
No, I mean, I think her biggest competition in probably what Caitlyn and Draven.
Yeah.
Like traditionally as her counters. I think Lucian is a pretty 50-50 matchup. I think that's super support dependent, honestly. But otherwise, like, strong AD carries right now are, what, Sivir, Ezreal, Jinx? And those all kind of, like, don't punish lane hard enough to put Vayne down. So she kind of gets a get-out-of-jail-free card, assuming no misplays into enemy thresh hooks or something like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, she's super strong right now. Do you guys have anything else you want to mention?
I don't know. I guess I feel like she's not as OP as you guys think. But I do think she's like, she shouldn't ever be like a character that can be played by anyone in any situation, is the main problem, I think.
Yeah, right.
I think
she should be a pocket pick.
kind of going further in depth into like what I mean by blind pickable.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
The we'll one see. Thing I would say, as just like a tip for Vayne, when you tumble during your ult, like you have a lot of time to walk around invisible before you attack. But if you do attack, you're going to come out of it instantly. So like take your time and reposition if you have to.
Yeah, it's like a full second, like an entire second of stealth on your Q, which is a really long time in League. And generally speaking, that extra stealth is going to be more beneficial than the extra like half of an auto attack that you get.
Yeah.
So I guess she's attacking more than that, but yeah. Also, don't tumble forward.
Yeah, really?
What do you guys think her best skin is? She's got a lot of great skins.
I like my Soul Stealer, personally.
Soul Stealer is really good.
Project is really fucking good, though, as well. I use Soul Stealer and Project pretty interchangeably. Even though like Soul Stealer is more rare, I feel like Project's just as good of a skin.
I have a soft spot for Heartseeker Vayne, because that's the first Vayne skin I thought was actually good.
Yeah.
But I can accept that it's not the best, and I'll probably go with probably Soul Stealer.
That's fair.
Her classic skin is like also one of the best.
Soul Stealer's pretty good. I think Arclight's pretty good. I think all of the character, like all of the skins on her look okay, just because her base design is so good. I mean, like her first two skins weren't great, but like that's just because they were comparing to her base skin, which is real good.
Yeah, I think her base skin's one of the best in the game.
Yeah, it actually is. Like, I feel like her like very early skins were terrible though.
Mm-hmm.
What's the one?
I mean, Dragon Slayer's pretty good.
Oh, Dragon Slayer is one of the first skins where I was like, holy fuck, the skin's wild. And then you'd have
like Vindicator and Aristocrat.
Yeah, those two are like actually awful though.
Yeah.
I think Vindicator she's wearing glasses.
So
I think
bad.
It's supposed to be an underworld
thing. Yeah.
I mean, aside from the entire character being Kate Beckinsale as a League of Legends champ. But hey, that's Vayne.
That's Vayne.
Roundtable.
Hey.
My voice cracked.
Before we do roundtable really quick, you know when it's on LAN for like the end of the season?
Ooh,
before I came back, I bought like a lot of RP because the RP prices are actually like dirt cheap. Like for like $100 you get like 100. Mm-hmm. How much do you can normally get? Like I think you guys usually get like like
for $100?
Yeah, like 10,000, something like that. Something like that, I'd say.
Let me see. $100. 15,000 right now.
15,000? So I think
including the bonus, yeah.
Yeah, and in Canada it's because I get like 12,000.
Okay.
So on LAN I think I got 18,000 for the same price.
Oh boy.
Because I'm like, oh, this is a good deal. I can't not buy it. And then so I decided like, hey, I still have all that money, so I'm gonna buy like the stupid like 7,500 versus event
furry
box.
Capsules.
Yeah, furry capsules. So you know the 10 things, they have like a 1.5% like or 1.5 times chance to like increase your chance to get gemstones, which still is only fucking like 8% or something ridiculous low.
Mm-hmm.
Got 3 out
you
of the 10.
I'm never getting enough gemstones.
I'm up to 8.
I'm at 8. Total.
I also buy like a lot. This is what I ever
that's true.
Like
that's
send
true.
My money on. I fucking it. It's true. Like gambling, but like not gambling. So,
do you guys think loot boxes should be classified as gambling?
Oh, 100%.
Like real quick, we don't have to get into it. But.
No, 100. No way that they shouldn't, in my opinion. What? Okay. Oh, I'm stupid. I don't want to talk about it.
No, do it. Tell us.
So I got a skin shard, and it was Hextech Galio, and I was like freaking out because it was a Hextech skin, but I realized...
Oh.
I forgot that skin existed. Are there... Hextech Anivia is the only other one, right?
Hextech Anivia, I think, is the only other.
Why the fuck are they called Hextech skins?
Because they were there first. Hextech
Oh, Janna, true.
Janna as well.
Janna.
Why would they...
Is there a Hextech Warwick?
No.
Okay.
But I was like so excited for a second because I'm like, holy shit, I got a Hextech skin. But then I realized it was one of the three that was in the game before they decided that they were like $200 skins.
Yeah, those are like preseason one skins.
Yeah, those are old. I guess it surprised me that they wouldn't have come out with a different name for like the gemstone skins, right? When there's already a Hextech out there.
Why not just gemstone?
Gemstone line. Because then it would have been like, gemstone this thing, and people would have been like, there's no gemstones, it's just...
Or just fucking do what Pokemon does with Mega Evolutions and just make it like League of Legends height.
That's fair. Cool. Anyways, I have it pulled up right here. So last week's question was, if Riot created League of Legends 2, what champions would they not include? Why? On our Facebook, Jeremy said, Ryze. I think they're over trying to rework them. I actually think they are as well, honestly. I don't think we're going to see a Ryze rework for a long time.
True.
Carlos said Teemo, because fuck Teemo, good reason. Brian said Vlad, Ryze, Azir, basically the ones that they made and went, oops, can't balance that. Yeah, I feel like all three of those are really, really good examples. From our Discord, Drazlock said, as much as I love him, I think they'd leave out Malphite until he gets reworked. Most of his kit's pretty boring to play and to play against, but his ult is so good and they never really let him be strong. His character slash lore is pretty boring, and he also is played by about 19 people as well.
True. And all of them go AP against me.
Did we ever see Malphite in pro play?
I think we actually did, like, pretty recently.
What a boring character for pro play.
I mean, he used to be real popular, like, way back in the day.
Yeah, before there were a good alternative.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Lil Barnabas said they would remove Singe. He's played by about 19 people, and playing against him is just so annoying. They would probably introduce his apprentice or something so they could still have a poison boy, but change how he works completely. A stock Supra said, definitely Zoe, because fuck getting dicked by a 10-year-old from across the map. Yeah, and I feel like Zoe's not a character they can rework either. Like, how do you change a character like her without removing her identity of being like a long shot burst mage?
Long shot spell thief burst mage?
Yeah.
You don't.
I don't think they can, honestly.
Not without making her more cancer.
Yeah. And then last but not least. Sorry.
And no, I was just going to say, like, you just remove the sleep and put a debuff that does way more damage.
Like, I could see them removing the sleep if they reworked her. But I couldn't see them removing her alt, her Q, or her spell thief thing.
Yeah. I mean, her passive is all that's left, honestly.
Mm-hmm. Red Lefty said, Heimerdinger, his identity is inherently as uninteractive as possible. I don't see how you can fix him without removing his turret mechanic. Yeah. How would you change him?
I don't think you can.
Like, what if he had, like, a turret, like, strapped to him or something like that? So, like, constantly autoed stuff? That's actually not a bad idea, though.
I mean, you just build tank Heimerdinger and run people down. That sounds sick.
Because they would have to make it so he wasn't, like, turret fenced, though, right?
Yeah. He just becomes, like, a Hextech Blastoise.
Or, like, what if his, like, alt Q, like, automatically place three turrets with a big one in the middle or something. They'd have to do something like that where it's like he's not just gimmicky and you have to, like, run around, constantly manage multiple turrets, have, like, a 30-second setup time and stuff like that.
I think, like, really, if you took away his Q, you could probably do it, like, in general. Right? Like, if he was...
His ult should...
You go, Nick.
I was just going to say, his ult should just summon a Hextech tank. And he hops in, he fucking shoots missiles and stuff. I'm drawing comparisons to Fox and Wolf's Final Smash.
Yeah.
The old ones where they just hopped in a fucking Landmaster and shot people.
Telka also did that too.
Who?
All three of them.
Falco, true.
Yeah, all three.
Oh, what a boring Final Smash.
I know.
Landmaster's cool, but not that cool.
Cool. Anyways, that's our roundtable question. If you want to tell us your answer, hit us up on our Facebook page at LeagueCast, send us an email, mail@leaguecastpodcast.com, or come into our Discord where everyone posts now for our roundtables. Really, really good.
Oh, yeah. This week's roundtable question.
What could it be?
Oh, I didn't ask that yet.
Yeah, you're not done yet.
I'm not done yet.
You're halfway done with all the work.
I'm not redoing that like spiel, but this week's roundtable question is, what is a mistake that you consistently make in League, but fail to correct? There we go.
Ooh, nice. I think this is going to sound kind of meme-y, but I think it's accurate. I don't think I take enough risks in the game. I think I play too safe all the time, and that in itself isn't a mistake, but doing it all the time is a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, mm-hmm, my mistake is that I don't make enough mistakes.
I mean, I think not taking enough risks, like, there's something to be said about always taking the 100% play, but there's also something to be said about, hey, if you take the 70-30, like, it's going to work out more often than not, like, in the long run.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, but statistically, I know I'm losing that more than 70% of the time. Or 30%, I guess, is the... But you guys?
A mistake I consistently make in League but failed to correct. Other than my meme answer of queuing up for games and playing ranked.
Also, you can't say taking too many risks.
Probably playing characters that I shouldn't in ranked. Like, I do that way more than I should, and I know it, but I just don't care that much. Mm-hmm. Like, I definitely do play too aggressively a lot of the time. And a lot of that, I think, stems from, like, I just assume people are going to come with me. And they don't. Yeah. But, like, that's because I'm making that 50-50 play. And I'm like, nah, we can do this outplay. Mm-hmm. But other than that, I don't know, like... I'm trying to think of something that I, like, just fuck up all the time. But don't correct.
Maybe these would be more accurate if we did them for each other.
I mean, I know like mine, like 100%.
Yeah, what's yours?
Well, it's like similar. It's two different scenarios, but they're like the exact same thing. Is going to like finish off a ward. Like, I commit for that ward for too long and die for it a lot. And I do the exact same thing with demolish for towers.
Okay, true. Yeah.
I do it very consistently where it's like, like, in theory, you do want to push, like, what you can get, right? Like, you do want to greed sometimes for, like, those extra hits. Like, getting a demolish proc is pretty important, I think. So is, like, finishing off a ward. But there's situations where it goes through my head, and I'm like, I really shouldn't. But then I do, and I die for it most of the time.
Like, can I name one more thing, Aiden, that you're going to be like, yes?
I mean, is it similar to that, probably?
No, it's not proccing your Targons on cooldown.
So I feel like in the Mord Blitz lane, I do it, but I don't do it as much, Colton. But I feel like that's actually just part of the lane, though.
I'm like partially memeing you, but just like, you're always, I think, like, oh, I've got my Targons, and it's like 17 minutes till you get your wards.
Yeah, I do feel like that's more in like Mord Blitz than anything else.
Yeah, but that's also because you're roaming like, a lot.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I'm mid most of the time, and then we're back on weird times, and it's, yeah. And also, mm-hmm, you're proccing stuff with Targon, so, like, it's... Yeah, but I...
Yeah, I was just memeing you a bit. So, yeah, if you guys have mistakes that you consistently make in League but fail to correct...
Then listen to 5 minutes ago in the podcast when I told you where to submit everything.
Hit us up with those submissions.
Cool.
Jeez, Vic. It's happening. Vic. Right now. Vygar, Victor, together in the bot lane. You got cages inside of cages. You've got magic damage on top of magic damage. You've got zone control out the wazoo. It's big, big damage with the VV bot lane. Yeah, you put a cage in a cage and they can't move. And then you throw down a Victor ult or a Vygar W and they just literally can never do anything if you have damage. So I think it's pretty fun. You're probably going to want to have the Victor farming and the Vygar, mm-hmm, just taking Spell Thieves and being the support, because he can still get a ton of AP from just queuing characters and not last hitting. And he does better, I think, without items than Victor, who is just absolutely useless without items. With the cages like layered on top of each other, I don't think that there's actually a way to not get stunned by one of them. Like, they're not going to overlap entirely, but I think the hitboxes are enough that the size of a character, like...
Not without flash, at least.
Yeah, right, you have to flash out of there. Also, though, like, late game, you could just, like, drop one on a ramp and then, like, wait for it to go down and then drop another, and it's just, like, 10 seconds where someone can't come through that ramp. Yeah, a lot of damage, especially with how good, like, Zed is right now mid. Again, if you need that, like, double AP bot lane or if you want it, that's one you can try, so... Let me know how you like it if you give it a shot, and maybe we'll give it a shot at some point this week if we're not too busy playing Mord Blitz.
Hell yeah.
And Nunu.
And going real fast on Nunu.
Yeah, so you guys want to talk about LCS? Not really, says me.
Finals.
We should at least say like the playoffs teams, right, is the main thing.
Yeah, we should do playoffs. So, number one seed, to no one's surprise at all, Team Liquid.
Yeah.
Cloud9 in the number two seed. TSM in third. FlyQuest. And then there's a pretty big drop in team quality, I'll say. FlyQuest in fourth. Golden Guardians in fifth. And Echo Fox in sixth. Rounding out is Counter Logic Gaming. One game out of playoffs.
They didn't deserve to go to playoffs. All that.
They absolutely did not deserve to go. I'm kind of happy they don't, because it means there's a higher chance of just... blowing up the entire team. Like, just bring in, just drop everyone. Who cares?
Yeah, no one's really playing that well.
Nope. It's like they all have good games, but they just happen at different times.
Is it weird to say that I think the best player on that team is Biofrost?
Nope. I think Biofrost, if we're keeping anyone, is the only like player worth keeping.
He's the most consistent.
Actually, I don't think Power of Evil was the worst.
Yeah, but I feel like, Biofrost is the most consistent. If I had to do my tier ranking, it'd be Biofrost, Power of Evil. Oh, fuck, it's either Darshan or Stixxay.
Everyone else tied for last.
Yeah, honestly. And I really like Wiggly. I think Wiggly has some of the highest highs on that team, but he also has the lowest mm-hmm. lows. Maybe that's because he's jungling for a team that's really bad, but
yeah,
I don't know.
I mean, where is he going to gank? Is he going to gank top? No. So we'll see. Whatever. Hopefully they just fucking drop everyone. Who cares?
Mm-hmm.
Or spend money. But yeah, playoffs, we can talk about that for a bit. Of course, Cloud9 and Team Liquid both get first round byes, so they're not going to be playing this weekend. But TSM Echo Fox is coming up, and then we got FlyQuest, Golden Guardians. Honestly, I think we should just scratch this and go straight to the finals, where it's going to be a 3-man finals for the first time ever, where it's going to be Cloud9 versus TSM versus Team Liquid.
Yeah.
And they all play on the same map at once.
Mm-hmm.
And only one team could win, but it's still a best of five.
Yeah. Now, the really interesting part is that TSM, being the third place seed, will be allowed to farm both sides' minions, but not take any neutral objectives. So it's a really interesting format. I like what they're doing with it.
Are they still doing the format? Like real talk though, are they still doing the format where like first and second seed play for a bye or something?
Do
you remember
that
at the very beginning of the season, NA was going to do a different format where NA and LEC were going to do a format where maybe it was one of the regions, not the other. Maybe it was only LEC where first and second seed were going to play. And that team auto went to finals, and then the second team had to play the winner of the...
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What region was that? Was that NA? Or was
I
that
thought that was going to be
I
NA.
Thought it was... Yeah, I thought it was NA.
I thought it was NA.
We talked about that. Yeah. Yeah, we talked about, like, it feels really bad that you could beat the team and then lose to them once and it's over.
Yeah, because it's not like a reset the bracket set thing.
Yeah.
I don't
thought
see
it was
that,
NA for sure.
I don't see that anywhere is all I'm saying, but...
We're not crazy. That happened, right?
We definitely talked
about
it.
I'm not imagining you guys.
I'm just going to look through the schedule for NA, see if anything pops up.
Well,
it literally, nothing's listed. For LEC, stuff's listed, though. So LEC, it shows, like, Fnatic Vitality, SK Splice, which is third, sixth, and fourth, fifth. And then it shows, on Saturday, Origin and G2 playing, which is first, second.
Oh, so it was LEC then.
I feel like, I thought it was NA because I felt like it was NA new.
I thought it was NA too.
Maybe yeah. They're both going to do it now and NA just hasn't put theirs up yet.
Maybe.
This is very confusing.
It'll be interesting.
It doesn't, it looks like it's only you, I think.
Hmm.
Because there's two matches on Saturday for EU, whereas on NA there's only one. Yeah.
Weird.
Well, I'm not sure. We'll see. I have no idea.
Whew, all right. Yeah, so let's get into to Mail Fight, where we have three emails. The first, oh, god damn it. Why do god I always forget? It.
It's by the guy who sent this email, and he says things.
Gosh darn it.
He's just a pitch for a cheese pick. He wants you to go an Elise Spiderling on hit build.
This is for Nathan. From Nathan.
From Nathan. Thank you, Nathan. So it goes precision tree, and I'm assuming probably press the attack. But Bloodrazor, Blade of the Rune King, Liandry's Berserkers. And you mess up objectives once you get that Bork, apparently. I could see that. I could see that. The only thing is, like, she doesn't really have any way to, like, use on hits, like, better than a default character. Like, she doesn't have any attack speed steroids for herself.
Yes, she does.
What?
Her Spider W.
Yeah.
Doesn't that... I thought that just made the spiders
It's, like,
faster.
70%. It's wild.
No, yeah, it's herself.
Oh, never mind that.
So I think the goal of this is, like, you use your human form combo once, and then you never leave Spider, and you just focus on neutral objectives.
I could see that, okay.
Because you can actually solo Baron with this.
All right. Maybe I'll have to try that. That actually sounds pretty fun. I forgot that you gained attack speed on your W.
It's 140% at max rank.
140%.
And it has a passive of 25 at max rank, and then it, like, active is 140.
And it doesn't it also give you damage on hit?
No.
No, but she does damage on hit, like bonus. Maybe it's her passive.
Maybe it's just her Spiderling setting that you're seeing. Oh, Elise's basic attacks deal 10, 20, 30, 40 based on spider form's rank plus 30%. Bonus magic damage and heal for whatever. It's a passive.
Okay.
Cool.
Yeah.
It's not bad.
I think what you're thinking of, or Colton, is that her W used to give Spiderling attack speed and that would heal her. But they removed that and attached that only to Elise.
Okay, yeah, so cool. That's way better then, and I'm actually, yeah, no, I'm excited for that.
Nice.
All right, well, yeah, right. Thank you for the cheese build. I'll put it in the notebook that is just my brain, because I don't actually have a real book.
Thanks, Nathan. Yeah. Next is from James. Says, hey, guys, I was just wondering, what are the current best split pushers for top my brain? It was done. For top lane, I'm going to be new to ranked, and as I hear it, low elo is very, very hard to get out of. And since I'm a top laner, if my team is losing, then I will always have the option to split push and try to win the game that way. I already play Jax as my main and Hecarim just for fun. I was just wondering what other split push champs I could play. Thanks, James. I mean, the big couple, you can always do Nasus, you can always do Tryndamere. Jax is, yeah, really good. I think Hecarim's kind of sleeper OP top this current patch, especially with Conqueror.
Yeah, Conqueror Hecarim is real good right now.
Ignite Teleport Conqueror.
Mm-hmm. I think other ones, Fiora is pretty good at it, and you just become unmanageable. I don't know how great Yorick is right now. Did you say that already?
I did not say Yorick. I think he's passable.
Yeah, I mean, they definitely big nerfed him, but, like, he's still probably pretty good. I think, honestly, like, a lot of tanks can do it, or a lot of characters can do it just fine, as long as you, like, kind of commit to it. Like, even if you just play, like, a full tank with wave clear, as long as you take Demolish, you can pop towers pretty quick, right? Like, Sion can do it.
Well, you can build wave clear. I think the biggest thing is, like, you pick a character who can win a 1v1.
Yeah.
Full stop. That's your best, like, that's your best chance. You pick a character whose strength is a 1v1, like Tryndamere, like Jax, like Vayne, honestly.
Jace.
And then like Jace, and then you build from there. Like, you can build, if you need wave clear, you can go Tiamat, you can go Static Shiv, you can build Sunfire Cape. But yeah, pick a character who's strong at 1v1s and then play around that.
Yeah.
Thanks, James.
All right, and last email from Brian. While Kha'Zix's may think change is good, I can't keep up with his evolutions. Do you mind going over evolution paths and the advantages to each? I would like to get back into playing him. No worries if y'all are not Kha'Zix mains. Okay, so what to evolve and when on Kha'Zix, and what the different paths kind of do for you. So,
all right, so first things first, never evolve your ulti.
Disagree. I think the only rule is you never evolve E first, but you always evolve it. Is that a, yes. Like, I feel like that's the most like core.
Yeah,
rule.
You never evolve E first, but you always at least get E. Because
I think like never evolve E first, always evolve it second.
I don't even think, like, there's sometimes where you have to go something second, I think, if the game's kind of getting out of control. But I think most of the time you do go second. I just feel like it pretty well doubles the range of your jump. Maybe it even does double the range of your jump, which is, like, necessary to playing the character. The reset's kind of even secondary to the jump length. I just feel like it makes him a character late game.
Oh, mm-hmm. I can't see what they evolve in on OPGG.
You can on the new website, which is, what's the other one that, like, that was on Reddit 2 days ago and it felt like an ad that, like, someone promoted? But like, didn't that post seem like a fucking ad, by the way? Or am I crazy?
I mean, mm-hmm. there are so many things on the subreddit that just feel like this probably doesn't belong here. Like, I'll check out my YouTube video.
ggbuilds.app/browse. So Kha'Zix, and it shows their evolved path for like most people.
Okay.
I think.
I'll look at that while you guys talk.
Okay. So in general, like, I'll talk first about like what are the strengths of each evolution, right? So your Q evolve, it has significant reduced cooldown if you had an isolated target with it, and it does more damage and it has more range. So what it's really good at is fighting things that are isolated. Huh. What does that mean? That means fighting in the jungle, being like flank on a team fight, or taking neutral objectives. If you're going to be stalling for a while and just like burning through camps and neutrals, I would probably evolve Q first, because you're just going to do that so much faster. You're going to be more effective in 1v1 trades against the enemy jungler. W, that's really good for ganking, as well as early team fights, because you can hit multiple people with it. It's got a fat slow when you evolve it. The healing and damage don't really change, but it's more about that fat slow and making it easier to hit. So if you're planning on doing a lot of like early ganking, being able to slow them that much is huge. Also, I think if you're going to be invading, that's really strong because you can actually run them down. E doubles the distance, or roughly doubles, and also gives you resets on killer assist. That's like your I'm popping off snowball move, but also the I become a real champion once I get my larger leap, because the small leap is real small. Mm-hmm. Again, you pretty much never get that first, but you pretty much always get it second. At the very least, you're going to always get it at level 16 if you haven't yet. Ultimate is you get an extra charge and you can go farther. You have more time in that stealth. You can use this as well to do a heavy ganking strat. But I think in most cases, W first is going to be more useful for you. That being said, I've seen it go either way. I think the biggest issue is if you get the ult evolution, then you have to not do W or Q. Again, if you decide to never do W, that's maybe not terrible, because it doesn't really change the damage much. It just changes that slow. But especially in competitive, that fat slow is huge, and like being able to just like check bigger areas and slow more, it's real nice. So
it is a 90% slow, mm-hmm. Isolated.
Yep,
which is nice.
As opposed to, however, like 30% when it's not evolved.
I am seeing that a lot of people are either going ultimate first or Q first.
It is all three. They're using all four, by the way, from like what we're seeing. Like,
yeah, it's mostly all four. There are very few instances when I don't even see an E. Like, I'm seeing a game from Maxlor where he doesn't evolve E, which seems wrong to me, but I also don't play Kha'Zix.
It looks like it's completely based on game at the highest level, though. Like, you'll see Caps, like, yeah. He goes RWE evolve, and then Yankos says to RWE, then Blue does RWQ, and then Days for Fun does QRW. Like, these are all, like, master, grandmaster players, challenger mm-hmm. players. So everything's being used just in different orders. It looks like RRQ almost always first, though.
Yeah. And then it looks primarily like W second with occasional E's thrown mm-hmm. in there.
And in that case, I'd say if you're doing very well, maybe get that E earlier because then you can snowball more. But yeah, typically I think like RWE is going to be like your safest build up.
I would say QWE. I'm not a fan of the R evolve. I also am not a pro.
I personally think QE W slash R. Like, I think QEW, like QE then choose WR as the last one. I think that although, like, I'd say the majority of these pros go W second, I feel like it's less good, like, the lower ELO you go. I feel like that's at the very top of play where you can literally get a pick off of a W, right? Whereas if you're below Diamond or you're below even fucking Master, having that 90% slow, I don't think matters as much. Like, in pro play,
that's true.
If you're playing at pro play, you need that. I bet you 100% of, like, Kazakh's pro play matches, like, in the last year have them maxing, like, evolving W at some point.
Probably close to it, yeah.
Yeah, you know, right, and they're also not, like, planning on, you know, getting the E in there, kill someone, E out, reset, go, like, get, like, a pentakill on Kha'Zix. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not what Kha'Zix is there for in pro play. It's that I'm going to burst down one character, be hard to pin down,
die,
and 90% slow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah. I actually didn't know that there was such diversity with his evolutions. That's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that kind of brings us, not kind of, it does bring us to the end of the show. Thanks everyone for listening. If you want to check us out on Twitter, it's at LeagueCast and at LeagueCastFrost. On Facebook, it is LeagueCast. Come talk to us on TeamSpeak, ts.leaguecastpodcast.com. Our Discord link you can get by sending an email to me. We're still getting a bunch of people joining every single day, which is super exciting. Mail at leaguecastpodcast.com, like Aiden was saying earlier, is where you can send us emails. You can reply to roundtables questions and ask us anything there. We'll mostly read anything. Twitch.tv/bluebasket and /kinglardot are where we stream. And finally, support us on Patreon, patreon.com/leaguecast. Thank you guys for listening, and we will see you next week. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.